Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poile coming up at 8:30, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you check out Nashville's best deal this week. It's 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company at thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. The NFL Combine underway. The Titans will be speaking later today. General Manager Rand Carthon and Head Coach Mike Vrabel scheduled to speak with the media. And as Joe Rexrow pointed out earlier, Vrabel not going to the podium, just kind of speaking with the local media later today. So a nice powwow from Mike Vrabel coming up later today at the NFL Combine. Joe, what intrigues you the most about the Titans heading into the NFL Combine? And with Rand Carthon speaking formally, I guess for the second time, as general manager of the Titans later today, what are you most intrigued to learn slash ask Rand Carthon about later today up in Indianapolis?
I just have a thought. Do you think Vrabel is not doing a full presser just so he can screw over Jared and he can't run the Vrabel presser in real time?
Maybe so.
Jared probably thinks so.
Playing chess.
Yeah, that's right. Well, look, I think the questions about, and especially about Tannehill, the question about Tannehill, I think, is the biggest one. I don't expect a definitive answer today, but maybe Vrabel says, yeah, Ryan's our quarterback. In all likelihood, it will be dancing around a direct answer, but I do think that the actual response, the tone, the word choice could be interesting today on that front. We've talked about the Titans, to me, needing to treat this week like they are a team that's drafting a quarterback. So they will not get to see Bryce Young throw. He is deciding to throw, which I don't like that decision by Bryce Young, but that's his decision. C.J. Stroud will throw here. Anthony Richardson will set the world on fire here. You know, I will tell you, by the way, on Anthony Richardson, I had some really interesting conversations. We had a lot of people at this thing. Dane Brugger's up here, of course, and some other of our people who, like, are film draft people. And I was talked last night into your – like, people are overstating Anthony Richardson's struggles and how far away he is. I don't, you know, it's like, hey, man, I didn't watch every snap from this last season. And in person, he was amazing. So he is going to be Richardson is going to be fascinating here. And I could see a team going real high for him, you know? So anyway, I'm already getting into quarterback talk. That to me is the most interesting thing. There's a lot of other things that the Titans have to figure out. And I just think even some of the – just catching up on, like, how the process has gone since Carthon came in and things like that will be interesting. But the quarterback question is the question.
Yeah, totally agree. And I'm interested to see what Carthon and Vrabel have to say on that. I'm with you. I don't expect really commitments either way from those guys today when they start to have those conversations. Combine is an interesting time in terms of, like, if you're the Titans, the amount of different people that you're meeting with is expansive, and that's different positions. It's quarterback, it's offensive line, it's wide receiver, it's all the positions that we've talked about at the draft this year that they're going to be considering what they want to do and what's available to them at number 11 overall. I am interested to see if Carthon tips his hand one way or another of what he's thinking draft-wise. Obviously, they sit here at number 11, and I think statistically, I mean, the odds are that's where they're going to end up picking, is sticking at 11. But what do you do there if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans, if the opportunity presents itself to move up, if the opportunity presents itself to move back and collect more picks, collect more draft capital? I mean, we've talked about the idea of moving back at 11. It's not really something you can rely on. It's something that just kind of has to happen there for you if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans. But, you know, beyond that, the NFL Combine, I mean, it just kind of – it is what it is. And as you said earlier, it's a perfect example of the NFL dominating the sports cycle because it's people throwing footballs around, running sprints, lifting weights, and my goodness, do we spend a lot of time talking about the NFL Combine.
Like, I'm already dreading today, the podiums. Like, every single player will be asked, like, have you visited with the Commanders? Have you visited with the Eagles or whatever, yeah. You know? And it's like, just assume they've all visited with everybody, okay? And also, like, what's the craziest question you've heard? Like, I mean,
We did find out last year at the NFL Combine from Trent Baalke that the culture had already been changed in Jacksonville. And turns out maybe he was right with Doug Peterson.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point. Baalke, man. Yeah, that's right. I think I was assigned to, like, transcribe all of Baalke, wasn't I? So yeah. I had to, like, listen to all of it and then go through all of it for the Pro Football Writers. Oh, man. But the voice is entertaining. Yeah, but, you know, there's obviously – I mean, the quarterback thing is I think it's every year it's the talk. It's interesting. We had a story by Matt Barrows, who covers the 49ers, on S2. Now, I think we've probably talked some about the S2 guys. They're in Nashville.
Yeah.
I wrote a thing on them a couple of years ago and how Joe Burrow blew their test up. Like, he was incredible off the charts. And it's cognitive testing, which I think is definitely better than, like, the Wonderlic in terms of how it translates to football. So anyway, in this story by Matt Barrows, which was about how Brock Purdy crushed that test too. There you go. There's an example of, he doesn't have maybe all the tools, but that test, the quick processing, it's a huge thing. I think more and more as time goes on, we're going to hear about S2 testing and cognitive testing as an important element of all of the evaluations, especially of quarterbacks. But those guys, one of the guys from S2, and again, they're Vanderbilt, former Vanderbilt profs, said that last year's quarterbacks were terrible.
Yeah.
So it's like there were questions. And again, I think they go hand in hand. The performance and stuff like that goes hand in hand with this. But he said basically, like, they didn't test well. Meanwhile, this year's are very good. And one in particular, he did not say, because it's up to a certain Alabama quarterback to reveal his results. But it sounds like Bryce Young may have absolutely dominated the test. And you know what? Does not. It's exactly the indefinable thing sometimes when you watch a player. But, like, it's like he has that sense, right? That extra sense. And that's what I feel like when I watch Bryce Young. So I'm not surprised at all to hear that he destroyed that test, and it's just more fuel for me. I am all in. I see all this crap out here about how he's too little and everything. I don't care, man. Bryce Young's going to be great. Go get Bryce Young.
Does Anthony Richardson have the most to gain at the NFL Combine this year in your mind? Is it – well, let's just stay at the quarterback position. Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, who do you think has the most to gain at the Combine?
Well, I think Anthony Richardson probably will, like, he'll run like a 4.3 or something, you know. Yeah. Like, I think he'll test off the chart. He's a, you know, very strong, I think in terms of what this thing is, it'll help him a lot. But look, with all of these guys, you don't know, like, how are the interviews going to go? That's an important, and it's a non-public part of this, but it's huge, right? These specific teams as they interview these guys. So, but as far as the information we'll have, yeah, I think Richardson will help himself a lot. And I think Levis could too. Levis is also a terrific athlete, big arm. So those guys will, in terms of, I think more than Stroud and Young, those two guys will be more combine heroes. But as we know, there's a limitation to what that means on Sundays.
I'm starting to see Jalin Hyatt gain a little momentum out there, Joe, in terms of the mock draft land. And we know about mock draft land this time of year. Man, it changes a lot from now until the draft. But I've seen some with Jalin Hyatt being a first-round pick. Now, albeit a late first-round pick, but connected to the Chargers. I've seen a whole bunch of different things with Jalin Hyatt. What do you make of his draft stock apparently rising up a little bit, at least in the mock draft world, which, as we know, translates totally every time, 100% of the time.
Yeah. No, but I've seen that quite a bit too, and I'm not that surprised. When you have that straight-up speed, I mean, actually, it's funny because Jalin Hyatt, the knock on him is kind of the same as Bryce Young, which is he's just so thin, and just you worry about that frame. And the difference, of course, like Jalin Hyatt will be hit a lot more, with force, right, than Bryce Young will. But the speed, the playmaking, there's a, you know, the I know that some people have knocked him, and it's fair. That offense, look, you stack those receivers, and in a lot of cases, you don't really have to deal with just straight up, press coverage, like in some offenses. So he hasn't had to work against that. That obviously requires physicality. So there are questions, but I think Jalin Hyatt will be awesome in interviews. And when you can run like that and make plays like that, yeah, I absolutely think you have a chance. It's a bad receiver draft. It's a good year to be Jalin Hyatt in a receiver draft.
615-737-1025. NFL Combine underway today. Titans general manager Rand Carthon speaking later today, as is head coach Mike Vrabel. What do you want to hear from Carthon and Vrabel today? What's the most intriguing part about the Titans and their pre-draft process to you? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are referred to so often, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe Rex Road is live in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. So looking forward to that taking place today. Rand Carthon speaking later, and Mike Vrabel speaking later today as well. So we'll keep you updated on that front. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, will Vrabel give any information on the Luke Steckel departure? Was reading a Bears report, and it was saying his role on the staff had not yet been identified, and there weren't any apparent positions left to fill. Just curious why he would take another job after getting a new job title here. And it was announced just a few minutes ago, and Kevin Fishbane put this out there on Twitter. Michelle found this and sent this over. The Bears announced the hiring of Luke Steckel as their assistant offensive line coach. He obviously previously was with the Titans. So Luke Steckel named the assistant offensive line coach with the Chicago Bears.
Very interesting. And I've wondered, Luke Steckel, Pat O'Hara, would they look to go elsewhere after getting demotions?
Yep.
Certainly demotions in title with the Titans. So we have a yes, an affirmative on Luke Steckel. So he is tight ends coach. He gets an interview to be OC with the Chargers.
Yeah.
He gets demoted with the Titans. He goes to the Bears to be assistant OL coach. Very interesting.
It's an interesting offseason for Luke Steckel.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So now that's one thing that will be interesting to, ask Vrabel about today, and also, Pat O'Hara, because as we've discussed earlier, if you can keep that kind of coaching might and experience and brain power on your staff and add people, and again, I'm presuming those guys didn't get pay cuts along with the demotions, I would be very surprised by that. Well, hey, that's you can do that, and that's investment in ownership to beef up your coaching staff. But when you demote people, a lot of times they're going to look around.
Yeah, no question about it. So looks like that's where Steckel is ending up as the assistant O-line coach in Chicago, and we'll see what happens from there. Back on the Titans front, Joe, I mean, you mentioned it. The quarterback part of this is really interesting from the Titans' point of view. But also, like, if they do what most people expect them to do, which is hang around at 11 and draft an offensive lineman, specifically an offensive tackle, like, I think we've got an idea of what sort of or who are the offensive tackles that are going to be available once they get around to number 11 overall. But I do wonder, how much can the in-person interview influence the way that goes? How much can what Vrabel has talked about before? I mean, sometimes Vrabel gets blown away in interviews. Sometimes they don't. How much does this time of year, when you are able to meet with these prospects one on one, How much does that influence the way that they go in a draft, and how much is it just simply what they see on tape and what that has told them and the overall body of work of the football player that they've seen?
Well, I think it means a ton. I think it means more to Vrabel than some people. I do. I can't quantify that, and I can't do a ranking, but he talks about it so much, and I just think Vrabel is a big, big proponent of chemistry, or culture, if yes, you prefer. So I think that the interviews are very important. You have to have the baseline if you have to have the talent. But look, the Titans, as we've discussed a lot, have had two bad drafts since John Robinson took over as GM, former GM John Robinson. And those were the two drafts that did not have the usual in-person elements because of COVID. And if other teams did well, then you screwed something up. You didn't do it well enough. You have no excuse. But I think that if you look at all the other drafts, and most of them also including Vrabel, and of course the best of them, the 2019 draft, which of course was in Nashville, but that's an all-timer of a draft. Pretty good results. So I think the interviews, if they had an in-person with Isaiah Wilson as opposed to Zoom, would that have made a difference? I have no idea. You know, I think the Isaiah Wilson stuff was largely post moving to Nashville, but yep, who knows? Maybe it makes a difference. So yeah, that stuff is very important. I got to think Vrabel also has got to be, of all these prospects going through here, not just because like Vrabel's like a big dude who played, but like he's got to be one of the most intimidating interviews, right?
I would have to think so.
Like Dan Campbell's a big dude who played in the NFL, but I'm sure he's like, come here, buddy, and giving him a come here, putting him in a headlock and. And joking around and
people intimidated by Mike McDaniel out there in the interview room.
It's definitely Vrabel and Belichick are the scariest. I feel like Belichick would just stare at you. You would just sit across from him till you break.
Yeah.
Right. And then he's talking, he's like, R-r-r-r-r-r-r-r-r-r-r.
Andy Reid's
barely hear what he's saying.
Face deep into a cheeseburger in there. I mean, what's he worried about? Nothing.
Yeah. Mike McDaniel. It's like, okay. And then, is the coach here? Are you an intern with the coach? Is the coach coming? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Brandon Staley is trying to figure out what down it is in the interview room. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. He's like, would you punt ever in any situation?
If the answer is yes, leave the room. Yeah, we have no use for you.
That would actually be kind of a good idea for a story, which is from the prospect's perspective, who are the most intimidating interviews? Like everybody writes every year about like, I was asked what kind of vegetable I would be. They asked if my mom was hot. I mean, that seriously was a question.
Yeah.
By the way, which is like, what? Those are some messed up questions. But I'd like to read the story about who in this league, comparing the interviews on the coaches' side, like how they go about it. Maybe someone's written that and I missed it, but if not, that's a good idea.
I mean, I'd just love to know, like, what Vrabel's go-to question. I mean, there's no way, like, as a coach with as many different people as you're interviewing, like, does Vrabel sit down and, like, prepare what he's going to say to, like, every single individual prospect in there? I kind of doubt it.
Just go
with it.
And I'd be surprised if Vrabel had much that was off the wall, too,
Yeah.
I'm going to ask him that today, actually. I'm going to ask him that. If there's enough time, he's only doing local, so hopefully a lot of people don't show up and you can get a lot of questions. And Jared's already texting me questions to ask for him, which I'm not doing, Jared, so shut up.
I'm looking forward to this later today. The Vrabel local media discussion could be interesting. I find that to be a better setup to get stuff out of him than it would be if he was up in front of the podium. So I'm excited for you all.
Yeah, I'm for it, man. If as far as I'm concerned, they just do locals. I mean, the John Robinson had his press conference, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then he went with locals, and that's when he started crying and all the good stuff happened. So as far as I'm concerned, don't even do the press conferences.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the NFL Combine. Joe Rexroad is live in Indianapolis from the NFL Combine. So we will take your thoughts on that on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle. We'll get his thoughts on the moves that have been made over the course of the past weekend, maybe what moves are still yet to come as the NHL trade deadline is coming up this Friday, and of course his thoughts on Barry Trotz coming in as his successor as well. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking Preds. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 8:30, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators General Manager David Poyle. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hope everybody's good there today.
We are doing well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, David, I talked to you yesterday a little bit about this as well, but I'm just curious from your standpoint, what was yesterday like for you? What was that experience like at the arena with all the employees there and a lot of people that you've been around for a long time in the game of hockey? What was yesterday's experience like for you?
Well, as I said yesterday, you never plan on I've had been to a lot of press conferences, but you certainly don't plan on your retirement press conference. But again, obviously, I'm the one who's been working on this and known about this for, last 6 months or so, that this was actually going to happen. So there's been a lot on my mind in terms of the preparing for this and, getting my replacement, which we didn't think was going to be until after the year. So, yesterday was great. It was really good. It was nice for my wife to be there. Lots of emotions for the Poyle family, but very nice. Everybody was great. I love hockey first of all, and I love the Predators. So this is it's not an easy decision. Walking away, basically giving away the job, only job that you've ever wanted. But I'm comfortable with my decision. Personally, it's time in terms of where I am in my life, age, and things that my wife and I want to do with our family, and some other things that we want to do for ourselves. So I have no idea what retirement's like. I've talked to a few people, and they say, "Do not judge your retirement on the first 6 months." So I'm sure it'll be tough. But I have an advisory role with the Predators, and talking to Herb Fritch and Bill Haslam, I think I can, bring value in this ownership transfer, because I've been going to all the governor's meetings for the last 4 years. I know all the people, and I know the history of why things have happened. And the same thing on the hockey side with Barry. I hope my experience that I can be just a listening board for him, or just an advisor in terms of how would you handle this situation, whether he does it or not. So I certainly appreciate everything the Predators have done for me, and I hope that my relationship, obviously in a lesser role, still continues.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, David. The advisor role, how defined is it in your mind? Is it sort of, I'm there for you if need be, I'm around, I can initiate some things and help with things, like you said, that you have experience in, or is it a little more defined than that?
No, it isn't, and I think we're just going to have to do this, naturally. And I think our game plan here is really good. Like I said earlier, the thought process when I was going to step down was be after the year, and I am officially doing that. But to have Barry on board now in this last 4 months, this week's also important week's trade deadline, the game plan is we have a big road trip coming up starting Thursday. On Saturday, Barry's going to go with the team, get to know the coaches and the players. He come back off the road trip. He's going to go to Milwaukee with Scott Nickel to get to know the coaches and the players in Milwaukee. Then he'll go scouting with Jeff Kelce and Tommy Nolan in preparation for the draft. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And I'm here in Nashville, running up the office and just talking to him on a daily basis. So I think we'll gain a lot of knowledge in these next 4 months. But as far as me, it's my hope that the hockey ops department, anybody in the organization in hockey, and specifically Barry, would like to use me on a somewhat regular basis. And the same thing for ownership as this transition goes through. But we'll just have to see how it plays out. I realize that when you step back, that it's going to probably be a depreciating role, which it should be. But I will always be available to the Predators if they need my advice or any of my thoughts.
David, I'm just curious. I mean, obviously you and Barry are really close, and you spend a lot of time together here in Nashville and in the Washington organization as well. I'm just curious, like, as he went back to Washington to be the head coach and was in New York with the Islanders, how much contact did you maintain with Barry Trotz? I guess, how has that relationship continued to evolve when you guys haven't been around each other as much over the course of the past decade?
I'd say it was fairly regular, not every week or what have you. And, you know, we've got together a little bit in terms of, like, if I was in Washington or whatever, to maybe have dinner or something like that, or vice versa when he came here. And it really ramped up, and probably a little bit more in the offseason. Then it really ramped up when he lost his job with the Islanders, and we talked a lot. And, you know, he was sharing with me his opportunities that he had, what his thought process was, and et cetera, et cetera. I shared with him what my thought process was, and obviously that led us to where we are today. So 40 years, so from a player to a scout to a coach in the minor leagues to a coach in the National Hockey League, I mean, Barry's got a resume that everybody should be envious of.
So how much sneaking around did you guys do in the last few months, David? It sounds like you get some meetings at your house or his house, and like he's coming to games, but kind of trying to keep him out of sight. Like how cloak and dagger has this been for you guys?
A little bit. It was fun. As people were coming into our house, I called it Camp David, the president. So it was good. Obviously we couldn't be coming down to the Bridgestone Arena, and you know, Barry hasn't been to the only game he did come to live was when it was my 3,000th game, and you know, I saw him and, you know, original Predators like Brent Peterson, Jack Diller, former president, and Jerry Helper. So that's the only game that he had been to live. So tonight will be the first, you know, official game that he will be free to roam the concourses, if you will, to interact with the people.
Predator General Manager David Poile on with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. So, David, obviously, as we discussed yesterday, a very busy time for you right now. Tell us how the Tanner Jeannot deal with Tampa Bay ultimately came together. And the second part of that is, have you ever had a trade before where you got six assets in return for one player?
Second question, no. That's a significant return for any player. With Tanner, I mean, Tanner was, again, he came on the scene there a year ago, was in the running for Rookie of the Year, 24 goals, fighting everybody, hitting everybody. This year, just, if you want to say last year everything went right, it's almost like this year everything didn't go right. Love Tanner, love how he plays. I think he can be part of any team in the National Hockey League. Wasn't really trying to trade him, but bottom line, we had more offers on Tanner than on any player that we had on our roster. And people kept calling me, and I just set a price. And, obviously varied. I didn't say I want five draft choices, but I set a high standard. And, you know, the Tampa Bay offer, in my opinion, in terms of where we are this year and what our future plans are in terms of setting up our drafts and our accumulating assets, we couldn't turn that trade down. So sorry that we lost Tanner, but you know, it's just like Niederreiter trading for a second pick. We need to make some changes. I've been talking to you guys every week on the show, and you always ask me about the trade deadline, and I've been a little hesitant, but it just is getting to the point where I'm not going to tear down the team, but we need to get some really good assets. So where I believe we are right now in terms of our future is, we've now got in a position for the next 3 years that we've got multiple picks in each year's draft. So I think that bodes well for drafting. And again, that's currency. I mean, if we got one of Tampa Bay's draft picks and they wanted some other team, we have to include that in the deal. Well, that's currency that we have. I also think our farm club in Milwaukee, which we've talked about on the show before, we're going to have four first-round picks playing down there in Milwaukee. Hopefully those are all good assets. Hopefully those are all prospects that can play for our club in the next couple of years. So I really feel that this as we split hairs here, my reset and maybe your rebuild is going to go faster. I do not want to be a situation where we go from missing the playoffs for the first time in 9 years, if that's what happens this year, to a team that doesn't make the playoffs for a lot of years, like some other teams have done. I want to get back up as quickly as possible, and I think Barry shares that vision with me.
So I guess, in other words, I mean, right now, as you gain assets, you're also gaining cap space, potentially the idea of not too far down the line parlaying some of these assets potentially for a proven player. I mean, is that part of the idea here, part of the vision here, David?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it gives you more options. Like, we have way more options today with trading those two players than we did a couple of days ago. Yes, we've taken a step backwards because replacing Niederreiter and Janot with, I don't want to say lesser players, but different players. Maybe it's younger players. It also, what it does is it gives people more opportunity. Like you see now with Johansson being hurt, Forsberg being hurt, Tommy Novak's playing a lot more. And look at how well he's playing. Cody Glass is playing, you know, much better than he did at the beginning of the season. We're bringing up a younger player tonight. We're playing his first game. We got more options because we've taken a couple of players off of our team. So, well, it's tough to play out and see what happens. Important week. We got, you know, 4 more days here for the trading deadline. I'm not predicting anything to happen. I think if it's like, you know, if somebody wants to pay something that we think is really, really fair and really good for us, then, you know, maybe there'll be other trades, but I wouldn't hold my breath necessarily to say there's going to be a lot more things that we need or want to do. Well, David, last words as a general manager, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, David, we really appreciate you taking time to join us. Congratulations on an incredible career. I know it's not done, and you got a lot of work left to do, but just appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye. Thanks, David.
Predator general manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rexall. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. I am in first place with 14 correct answers. The listeners remaining with 11 correct answers. Joe Rex Road with a nice victory in Preds Pick to Click the other day. He moves up to 10 correct answers. And Michelle Knezovic with 7. So that is the competition and where things stand today as the Predators prepare to take on the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Paula, today's participant in Preds Pick to Click. Paula, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Tommy Novak.
Tommy Novak. Paula, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So Tommy Novak, the selection. Tommy Novak has been on an absolute heater for the Predators as of late. So Novak off the board. I'm up next. Novak off the board. You know what? Give me Tomasino. I'm going Philip Tomasino. I like the way that he's played. He has been distributing the puck very nicely, but I think he scores tonight. So give me Philip Tomasino. Novak and Tomasino are off the board. Joe Rexrode, who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
Did you get the sense from David Poile right there that he's done making trades?
No. I did not.
He kind of said that. He said, don't hold your breath.
I know what he said.
Because I'm trying to – I was going to pick Duchesne, but what if they sent him out for trade purposes?
I don't know.
That would stink.
I don't know.
Roster management issues.
I think it's Duchesne, show out for the Canes. Okay. Duchesne for the Canes. Give me Duchesne.
Okay. So Novak, Tomasino, and Duchesne off the board. Michelle Knezovic, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
A lot of the young guys tonight. I'm picking Cody Glass.
Cody Glass. So a lot of young flavor, other than Joe Rexroad, who's going with Matt Duchene. A solid selection there.
Other than the old guy, going with the old guy.
I was going to say that, Rex, but you said it first. So. Yeah.
There you go. Novak, Tomasino, Duchene, and Glass, the selections in Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. So, Joe, did you come away from that conversation thinking that the Predators are done?
Well, not necessarily, but I came away from it. It certainly wasn't like we are open for business and they're more wheeling and dealing to come. You know? Now, granted, you don't want to set an expectation like that either and then, like, nothing comes together. But it felt a little bit like he looks at it like they've acquired a lot of assets. They've opened some space. And they're not in some, like, it's, I mean, basically the idea of, well, yeah, call us. And if you got something just incredibly compelling, I'll listen. You know what I mean? That's how it came off to me.
Well, he did say he's not tearing the whole thing down. I mean, he said he's not going to tear the team down. So I think we knew that, but he did say that a second ago. So I get it from that standpoint. I'd be surprised if they're done. Never, the Ekholm part of it is intriguing because we've talked about it throughout the show today. How much is somebody willing to give? Like that's ultimately the question. If they're willing to give a lot, then I think the Predators will be right there listening. How much is somebody ultimately going to be willing to give?
Yeah, if Oilers fans who read The Athletic are in charge, then Ekholm will be in Edmonton this weekend. But yeah, I could see this just being maybe like Fabro and then that's it. Something like that.
I could too. Now, I also, and we talked about McDonough last week, and that was before the equation changed. Now the equation has changed, and you've traded two guys, and you know that, you know, David Poile said it right there. I mean, they may miss the playoffs this year. I mean, the odds are they're going to miss the playoffs this year. Now that they've kind of determined a path here, like has Ryan McDonough approached the Predators and said, hey, thanks, but I'd like to be somewhere where I can go compete for a cup. So let's see if we can't make that happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. In a situation like that, you know, that's not a great leverage situation if you're on this side of it, right?
No.
If it becomes known that he just wants out and he's going to pick a team, right? So, but, you know, at the same time, you still don't have to trade him.
Right.
So, if, you know, it's not great for leverage, but you still have to be able to get a good return out of that. I don't know with McDonough. I mean, I just feel like Ekholm is just a little bit more attractive, but it depends on the team and the fit.
The one that just seems like it's a formality to me at this point is Fabro. Like, you've just, it seemed that way anyway, and now you've gotten Cal Foote back in a return. I mean, it just, there's not a path to me where Dante Fabro is in the future plans for this team. I mean, I guess
unless
I could
you're
be
out on Carrier.
Yeah, unless it's Carrier, but I think just kind of reading between the lines, they've made their thoughts on that pretty clear. Like I
agree.
I think they like Carrier. I think Carrier is a part of their future plans, and I just don't think Fabro is. So I mean, that doesn't mean that he has to be traded by Friday, but I mean Jeff Merrick did report over the weekend that he expects Fabro to be traded by next Friday, and that San Jose would be an interesting landing spot for him. Again, you're not getting a whole lot for Dante Fabro. It made sense before. Now that you've gotten Cal Foote in a deal back with Tampa, like he kind of feels like the same guy, like a first-round pick that I think has more upside than Fabro does, but has also not lived up to his ability so far. Like, I don't know why you keep Fabro if you've got Foote coming in.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's probably the one we can count on, high probability, and then – we'll see. Real quick programming note, by the way, the Titans just let us know, those of us here, that Tim Kelly is here and is talking. So someone on the text line earlier asked about Tim Kelly. I don't know if you knew or you just guessed, but
I said it in the report.
Yeah, Michelle knows.
You said it in the report just now?
No, the commercial things that air that I do. He might have heard of that.
So you knew about this? When?
Jim Wyatt did an article on it on TennesseeTitans.com that he would be there and available.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well,
sorry, Joe. I should have told you.
Well, good to know that, you know? Let's drive to Indy. Hey, David Poor's retiring. Oh, hey, everybody. Guess what? Tim Kelly's going to be available. Yeah, we knew that days ago. Awesome. Just call me Scoops Rex Road.
Just get an Uber. It'll all work out fine.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to get that Uber early now since Tim Kelly, it's breaking news, is talking today.
I'm interested to see what he has to say. Rand Carthon addressing the media around 1:15 today. Mike Vrabel addressing the media this afternoon as well. And Joe Rexroad, you'll be there for all of it. So we'll have a lot to discuss on the Titans front coming up tomorrow.
And Jared, stop texting me questions. I'm not asking your question. His question is, was Poyle forced to retire? Did Jared, was that his show yesterday? Was that all his show?
He did bring that up a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Inspector Clouseau, man, he is always on the trail.
That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Jason Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.